Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome tonight to a Tuesday night Bible study with Pastor Brooks. God bless you and thank you for first Bible study in a while, and hopefully tonight we can get all of the kinks worked out. See, some of you are calling in. I don't know if how well you're hearing me. Thank God for Sister Brooke, Sister Cooper. Can anybody hear me?
Yes,
yes
sir.
Sir.
I can.
Okay, you can hear me. Okay, you can hear me pretty
yes,
good.
Sir.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm
yeah.
gonna mute you. All right, I'm gonna mute you all's mic.
Excuse me.
Okay, so I'm going to mute your mic. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, tonight, again, taking us a little while to get situated and get this Bible study back, get everything set up the way I would like it. It changed my... my man cave around somewhat since then, and have to get everything back in order. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for blessing us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for allowing us to assemble here tonight to study your word, to share the faith, to encourage the believers, and to draw the sinner. Dear Lord, we ask that you would look up on us, and we ask that you would touch our bodies. We pray for strength. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless us tonight, bless our families, bless the saints everywhere. We ask that you would continue to meet our need according to your riches and glory. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless those who are sick, those who are shut in. We pray for the families who are going through periods of bereavement. We ask that you would strengthen them, strengthen their minds, and help them to realize that you are still God and that you still love us all. Lord, we ask that you bless us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, thank God, and amen. Also, I want to encourage you to join us Sunday morning. Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, and followed by morning worship at 11 o'clock. And that's at the church, New Birth Ministries, 6424 Benjamstown Road. And that's between North Haven and Shelby Forest. I invite you to come to worship with us, to fellowship, and to share in God's word on Sunday mornings. Want to remember a couple of bereaved families. I ask that you all be praying for my sister and her husband. My brother-in-law lost a brother on last week, and that funeral will be Saturday in Hardeman County. Some of y'all, you saw it in the paper. His name was Dwayne. We called him, nickname was Cowboy. Dwayne Harris coached and taught in Memphis City Schools, and so his funeral is Saturday. Also, one of our members, missionary Jackie Wordlow, her brother has passed. His funeral will be Saturday at 11 o'clock as well in Memphis, Tennessee. So we're going to ask that you be praying for all of us, that we be able to deal with these things that are happening and speak a word of encouragement to others who are going through their trials and their tribulations. Okay. It is time that we be ever vigilant as children of God. You know, we see things happening in the world, and man makes plans, but a lot of times the plans of man don't go the way that man had planned them. You know, we trust and depend on everything and everybody except God. And we think we have things worked out, But when things, when situations arise, then we find out that our plans really didn't work out the way we wanted them to work out. And we should have had our trust in God from the beginning. So many times God's people, and you expect the, I guess they expect the world to operate like that, but God's people have been falling by the wayside for a while, and it looks like God's people are trying everything else instead of holding on and trusting and believing God. Like I said, you know, we make plans, but anytime we make plans without God, we are really setting ourselves up for failure and disaster. Think about the gun violence, the school shootings that we just went through recently down in Florida. All schools in the United States have had so many school shootings over the years, hundreds of school shootings, whether it be church schools, public schools, colleges, private institutions, where someone will bring a gun and start shooting. Sometimes they come bring this gun to school, commit suicide. Other times they'll bring guns to school and shoot others, then commit suicide or kill others. And then when the law enforcement close in on them, they surrender and then go to court and plead guilty to avoid a trial where they will be convicted and face the death penalty. And so down through the years, the schools have been practicing these drills. We have fire drills, tornado drills, earthquake drills. Now the schools have developed these active shooter drills and these plans. If there is a shooter, there's an intruder in the building with a gun, what the students are supposed to do, the precautions that we take, the actions that we take. And then we, and so the plan is go somewhere and hide, be quiet, and wait for law enforcement to get there and take care of the situation and secure the building and secure the grounds. So we depend. So there's been a strategy. This is what we would depend on. We would hide, hunker down, and wait for law enforcement to come and rescue us. But in this situation that happened a couple of weeks ago, young man came to the school, shot up the school, shot a lot of students, some teachers diving in front of the shooter, trying to get between the shooter and the other students, called on law enforcement. Law enforcement shows up, but law enforcement in this situation didn't rush in to, with guns drawn, trying to find the shooter, locate the shooter, neutralized the shooter. But the law enforcement stayed outside of the building. Reports are upwards of 4 minutes before for deputies that was assigned to the school, school resource officer, 4 minutes before he would go in and try to neutralize the situation. So the plan was we hunker down, we be quiet, we wait on law enforcement to come and rescue us. But when law enforcement got there, law enforcement refused to rescue. And this is what I'm saying. We make plans and we have these scenarios worked out as to how we're going to protect ourselves. But we take God out of the equation, and we're depending on man, and we see, and we should know by now, that we cannot depend on man. We must depend on God. that we cannot wait on man to rescue us. We need to be in the arms of the Lord. And so we have to pray for our nation and all these tragedies, all these things that are happening. You know, it's just wickedness. And a few years ago, remember, God has started exposing different ministries, start pulling off the cover in different ministries, showing the hypocrisy in some of the various ministries. And people forgot the scripture, and they were looking at the church, laughing at the church, talking about the church. But one scripture that people overlooked, and that was that judgment must begin first at the house of God. And the scripture didn't say that judgment will start at the house of God and end at the house of God, but it said it would begin at the house of God. So God judges his people first, and then that judgment spreads through the nation. And so now people were laughing at the church and laughing at all of the scandals and hypocrisy, the lying, the stealing, the cheating, the adultery, the fornication, all of these hypocritical things that were taking place among some of the leaders of the churches, who some were caught up in sin and some were just sinners who had finally gotten caught. And people were laughing, but now we look as we go through society and all of these, this revelation that has been taking place and this Me Too movement, and people are being ostracized, criticized, they're being, the business is being put out there in the open, and women are now rising up in the Me Too movement saying, this individual molested me, this individual sexually harassed me, this individual did this and that. And so now we see the people who are prominent in our society, they're being caught up, they're being named, and some are apologizing, and some are losing their revenue, some are losing their jobs, some, and these are people up in higher positions, presidents of companies, CEOs, but they're being caught up, and they're being exposed, and they're being brought down to earth. And judgment sweeps through, and people are laughing at these, the ones who are rich and famous because of the scandals that they're going through. But keep laughing. Again, judgment begins at the house of God, but it will continue to spread through the land, and others will eventually have to go through their judgments. The veil being moved from their mischievous ways. And so our nation is in a state of flux because of all of these things that are happening. And people are dying seemingly everywhere. And again, as the older I get, you know, one thing about life, the older you get, the more funerals you'll have to go to. More death notices that you read in the paper, the more people that you know. Think one weekend, one Saturday, had three funerals that I needed to be at the same day, at the same time, in three different places. This is how it's seemingly that people are leaving this earth. And we as God's people, we need to make sure that our hearts are right with God. Tonight I have posted that we're going to talk about developing our faith and increasing our faith. But I want to go a little different way tonight. One thing that I mentioned in Sunday morning service is that when Jesus was in the wilderness, the Spirit of God had led him into the wilderness, and his purpose for going into the wilderness was to, his ultimate purpose was to be tempted of the enemy when he was in a weakened physical state. And so while he was in that wilderness, scripture says he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. And then, and it's time to end this fasting period, the enemy comes, the Satan comes, and he suggests, tells Jesus, and he tells him this, what? If thou be the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, if you are who I know you are, command that these stones be made bread. And what was Jesus' reply? You know, his reply was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's coming from Matthew, the fourth chapter. And when Jesus spoke and told him these things, that man shall not live by bread alone, in other words, there's another thing that man needs to keep him alive other than food. And the thing that man needs to keep him alive, or to besides food, is the word of God. And if man would have the word of God alone with the nourishment of the earth, man will be much better off. And as I was sharing with us with the church Sunday morning, I said, think about how often we eat. You know, we have breakfast, lunch, dinner. We have snacks in between. We'll have fruit between these meals. We'll have candy between these meals. Then at night, we'll pop us some popcorn or get us some ice cream and cake and cookies. So we eat several times a day, nourishing the body, feeding the body, giving the body food when the body is not even hungry, not even seeking food. But then when it comes to God's word, sometimes we only put the word in us a couple of times a week. In other words, having a meal from the word of God becomes a twice a week occurrence. And if we ate two natural meals a week, we would say we are famished. We would say we are hungry. We would say we are starving. We would say we would feel like we're about to die. We would say that we are weak. We would not be able to function. We would not be able to work. We would be lethargic. We would start having medical problems. We would start losing our countenance. Our weight will go away. Our bones and our muscles would get weak. All kind of things would happen because we're not getting the nutrients in our body that we need to live. And so we take that, on the other hand, on the spiritual route, and we're only eating from God's word twice a week. Guess what's happening to our spirit? Our spirits are getting weak. Our spirits are getting hungry. Our spirits are getting lethargic. Our spirits are barely able to hold on. And so this is why the enemy is able to really deal with us the way the enemy wants to. That's why the enemy is able to sift us like wheat. That's why the enemy is able to mess up our mind, to confuse us, to get us to go back on God, to get us to walk away from God, to get us to out of God's will, is because our spirits are so weak from a lack of nutrition, from a lack of eating God's word. And we forget about God, and we think that the devil has an oasis, an abundance, a banquet waiting for us, and we get attracted, and we are attracted toward what the enemy is putting in our face, this smorgasbord, this banquet, all of these things that look pleasant and look like we want and look like we need, because we have not taken time to eat of the word of God. And when you begin to eat of the word of God, you recognize what the enemy has is not what you need. What the enemy has is not going to bless you. What the enemy has is not going to make your life better. What the enemy has is not going to pick you up. What the enemy has is not going to turn you around and put your feet on solid ground. But what the enemy has to offer is only going to pull you down further and further and pull you away from God. But then when do we discover this? When it's too late, after the enemy has sifted us like wheat, after we've gone through our trials and tribulations, after we've tried to hide the fact that we've been falling away, after we've been trying to hide the fact that our lives are messed up, we've been trying to hide from one another our shortcomings. But God knows and God sees. And there's no need of trying to hide from one another. The scripture said that lets us know, in other words, that what we should be doing is drawing ourselves together. Scripture said that for the child of God, you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He said, as a manner of some is, as the other people do. But for the child of God is to assemble with the other saints, with the other people of God. Why is this? This is the fellowship. This is the worship. This is to increase our faith. How does this increase our faith? We're come together as a body. We share our experiences. We encourage one another to pray. We testify things that we're going through and how God has given us victory, the process that we went through, the struggles we had to go through, and we testify about how we held on to God and how God blessed us. And understand this, whatever you are going through, somebody else has gone through the same thing. And whatever you are going through, somebody else is going to come behind you and go through the same thing. And so with us coming together and assembling ourselves together, we can draw strength from one another. We can encourage one another. We can teach others, because the thing that you went through and how you got delivered, all I can do maybe with somebody that's going through that same thing is to encourage them. But you went through it. You overcame, and you can do more than encourage. You can tell them the process to get free and how to stay free. You see, that's the benefit of God's people coming together and fellowshipping, not just coming together to raise an offering, not just coming together to show off our clothing, not just coming together to have a fashion show, not just coming together just to be seeing one another or being seen of somebody else, but coming for the true purpose of God, having us to worship and to fellowship as children of God. Scripture said that God has given every man a measure of faith, a measure of faith. But having a measure of faith and not knowing how to develop it, it does you only a little good. Having a measure of faith and not knowing you have it, having this measure of faith, does you no good. And so the enemy has God's people, and we come to this thing with this lack of faith, and God's people are treated by the enemy like the slaves were treated in Texas at the end of the Civil War. Civil War was over. Remember, didn't have TV and radio, didn't have instantaneous news. But the war had been over. The South had surrendered. Lee had surrendered. South was defeated. The Union Army was victorious. The Emancipation Proclamation had been made previously, is now able to be in effect throughout the entire nation. War was over. But word had not yet gotten to the black slaves in Texas that the war was over, that you were free now. Word had gotten to some of the other Southerners that they were defeated, the war was over, but they didn't spread this information to these slaves. And so the war was over. The people who were slaves had been effectively emancipated. They were now free, but they were operating under the assumption that they were still slaves, because they were told that they were still slaves. No one had told them, you're not slaves any longer. The war is over. You're free. But they kept operating in that which they were accustomed to, because they hadn't been told the truth. And so we, as God's people, sometimes the enemy treats us like that. We won't go to the Word of God. Nobody has given us the information. We haven't heard what thus saith the Lord, because we don't read God's Word except two times a week, and we're missing out what God has for the believer. We're missing out how God wants us to be a blessing. We're missing out how God wants to bless us. We're missing out on what God has designed for his people, simply because we will not eat of the Word of God. Some of us, you know, we have a new president, and they tell us that everything is going well. Stock market is going up. People's economic confidence is increasing. Tell us that we're getting more jobs. Tell us that we're getting more pay. They're giving bonuses. Giving bonuses and then turn around and laying people off. All of these illusions that we go through in this world. And sometimes we are illusioned, get caught up in the scam, because we want to be caught up. We want to be tricked. We want to be conned. We want to be told these things because these things sound good. But everything that sounds good is not good. Everything that looks good is not good. Everything that tastes good is not good. Just because it brings about a good feeling does not mean that this is ordained of God. But we as God's people must learn to develop our faith, increase our faith. And one of the ways to do this is to get more into the Word of God. How can we get into the Word of God? My life is so busy. Well, there are some things that you can do to get more into the Word of God. You can listen to, you're in your car driving. you have a choice of radio stations you can listen to. You can listen to, there's some that play gospel music, Then there are others that play, have solid teaching, gospel teaching, gospel ministers, solid gospel ministers. You can listen to this, increase your faith. I'm talking about listening to quality, the good, the ministers that are telling the truth. There are things that we can do. We have iPads now. We have all this technology. We can download music. We can even download the Word of God. And we can play these things in our car via CDs, tape players, and whatever type of stereo that you have in your automobile or at your house, in your home. There are a lot of ways that we can get into the Word of God that we're overlooking. You know, we think about how we do. We turn on the TV and don't even watch it. Turn it on because we want to hear the noise of the television. Don't know what is being said. Don't know what is being talked about, but we just want that noise, that background noise. You can start listening to the Word of God. You can start taking a few minutes reading the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God, your faith will increase. Your knowledge will increase. Your understanding will increase. You begin to read God's Word. You begin to pray and ask God for wisdom, ask God for guidance, ask God for an understanding. God will do it. Sometimes you'll get stuck with a passage of scripture and you'll have to be like the Ethiopian eunuch. You have to pray, and then God will send somebody your way to open up a portion of scripture where you are struggling with. See, God is able to do everything that he said he would do. God is able to bless us richly. He's able to bless us mightily. As I get ready to close, I just want to encourage you that a lot of things that you are going through, but God has not forgotten about you. Some of you are losing jobs. Some of you are losing your joy. Some of you are losing your anointing, but grab hold to God. Grab hold to God's word. God wants to bless you. God is looking to bless you. God has not forgotten about you. And since God has not forgotten about you, don't you forget about God. Since God has not turned his back on you, don't you turn your back on God. Since God has not walked away from you, don't you walk away from God. Defeat the enemy in your mind. Defeat the enemy in your spirit. Defeat the enemy in your life. Be victorious. Be an overcomer. Be one who God can look at and say, I'm well pleased in this individual. Be one that God can say, I know this one won't go back. Be that individual God can say, this one, if it turned back, it won't turn back for long. They'll be back in fellowship with me. God wants to bless you. God wants to encourage you. Hear the word today. If flu is going around, we pray for you, Missionary Cooper, that God bless you and that God takes you through as you go deal with the flu. The whole entire family seemed like it had it. And this flu season has been rough this year. I'm not 100% yet. But I thank God that I'm better than what I was. And so join us next week at 7 o'clock p.m., Tuesday at 7 o'clock, for Bible Study with Brooks. We'll do it here on Blog Talk, and eventually we'll extend it to some other mediums. Be praying for us as we'll be praying for you again. Join us Sunday morning at 6424 Benjamin Town Road. If you need directions, you can give me a call, 901-679-6741. Again, 901-679-6741. You can send me an email at K as in King, X as in X-ray, the number 4, W as in William, B as in Brooks, at yahoo.com. Again, that's K as in King, X as in X-ray, the number 4, W as in William, B as in Brooks, KX4WB at yahoo.com. Thank you. God bless you. God keep you. Have a good night. See you next week. God bless everybody.